Thank you so much for that. That was beautiful. If you have your Bibles, let's look at one small passage this morning in the book of Samuel in the Old Testament. I think it's about the ninth or tenth book, 2 Samuel, and almost to the end, 2 Samuel chapter number 23. And the book of Samuel is called a historical book. It gives much of the history of the nation of Israel, their battles, their leaders, their kings, etc. So 2 Samuel, chapter number 23. Let's find out, how many of you are readers? And I don't mean you know how to read, like a newspaper, but you've always got a book going. I mean, you've always got a book going or something like that. If you're not, I understand. Well, I am a reader, and so I'm always reading. I mean, I've got books all over the house. If I turned into something, I'd turn into a book, probably. I've got 465 biographies alone, just biography, entire books about people's lives. And one of the things I enjoy reading is not just their birth or who they're related to. I want to see how they finished. That's what I want to see. I want to see how they finished. And I want to see what God got them through. Because one day I'll go through a battle and I'll need to say, okay, so he got you through that. Maybe he can get me through that. Amen. And so we see the end of the life of one of the most interesting Bible characters. This is the life of David, 2 Samuel 23. You say, well, why is that important? Because Jesus is actual a type, or David is a type of Jesus Christ. Many similarities. Both were born in Bethlehem. It is now called the city of David. Both were shepherds. David was a shepherd of sheep. Jesus was a shepherd of souls. David's brothers did not like him. Jesus' brethren did not believe in him. And on and on and on. David had a lot of battles. Jesus had a lot of battles with people. A lot of similarities. It's interesting, when blind Bartimaeus was crying through the crowd for Jesus to stop and heal him, he says, Jesus, thou son of David. He was saying, you're a relative of David. David's life is one of the few lives in Scripture that God gives us his youth, age 17, all the way till his death. So God says, I'm showing you not just a snapshot, but the whole life of David. David had what we would call a checkerboard life. If you've ever played checkers, and I know they don't play games anymore. You know, if it's not video game, they don't play. Or if you've played, it's this ancient game called chess. Probably never heard of it either. But some people play it, kind of people who aren't real smart. Anyway, yeah, right. But it's got dark squares and it's got light color squares. You've seen them, the dark and the light. David's life was a lot like that. When David was good, he was real good. And when David was bad, he was real bad. There was no gray areas. I mean, he jumped from one to the other. But I love it because God gives us transparency with David to show us how human he is, just like us. You say, well, why was he so special? What was special about him? Well, he killed a giant. Can you imagine a teenager in our church? Oh, yeah, that teenager comes, a Hopewell Baptist. He's 15. Yeah, he just won the cage fighting championship heavyweight. Wow. David killed the heavyweight, MMA, and all the other belts. And he only fought one round for about 2 seconds. You know, that kind of is a pretty good claim to fame. He had killed a bear with his bare hands. Pardon the pun. He had killed a lion with his hands. He wrote songs. He was good with a sling. He could play a musical instrument. What a guy. We see all these stages. He was a servant, and he helped in the king's palace with the king's armor. What a guy. He wrote songs. And he's the only man in Scripture ever called by God the man after God's own heart. In other words, God looked down from heaven and said, you know, there's one guy on the planet out of 10 billion people that have maybe lived. There's one guy who feels just like I do about everything. What a compliment. What a guy. 6 books are written about him. Samuel, Kings, Chronicles. He wrote more chapters in the Bible than any other human author. God dictated it, but he wrote it. Over 100 chapters, the book of Psalms. Maybe you'd remember he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Maybe you remember this one, "I would rather be the doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Maybe this one, "I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous begging or a seed begging bread." What a guy. I love David. And so we see this passage at the end of his life. He's now, I think he's 70, and that's young for the Bible days to die. But I think he's at least 70 at this. How many 70-year-olds right now? Oh, you're living on borrowed time. Should be dead by now. And I want to be just like David. Not me. I want to live longer than David. And so, look at it, if you would, please. 2 Samuel. Well, what's this got for me? Well, here it is. And also, if you would help me, Brother Laverico or somebody, turn off all the heaters. I think it's I got some people fanning already. All right, thank you. All right, Brother Thomason, got it. 2 Samuel 23, here it is. And then we'll get right into the text. 2 Samuel 23. Now, these be... I need all the teenagers, turn in your video games off, please. It's the Word of God. It's not just a speech at a Kiwanis Club. It's God's Word. So we're going to honor God's Word in this building. If you can't turn your cell phone off, you need to go in the lobby. I don't mind. Not going to hurt my feelings at all. Play, go sit out in a chair out there, out in the car or something. We're not going to do that in church. And I don't want other people checking your phone, checking the scores. Look, I can wait. You can wait. New Orleans Saints won't score for at least another year. All right, so I can wait. Okay, so here we are. 2 Samuel 23. Now, these be the last words of David. David, and notice, the son of Jesse. So now he's getting ready to die, and guess what he's saying? I'll never forget my relationship with my dad. When teenagers start drifting away from God, oftentimes it's a poor relationship with their dad or a dad figure. He wasn't there for me. He bailed out. I never knew him. All this kind of stuff. David is now 70. He says, me and dad, the son of Jesse. And the man who was raised up on high. David says, oh, I know who I am. I'm that guy that was a shepherd. I was a nobody watching some bad sheep. And God reached over on a hilltop and put me in the palace and put a crown on my head. By the way, don't ever forget where God found you and where he has brought you. Some of you, no one was following you for good. Now you got some people who's following you in a good direction. And that was the Lord. He may have found you under a bridge. He may have found you in some shelter somewhere. He may have found you in some wicked place somewhere. Never forget, he raised you up. It's God. It's not your own bootstraps. It's not your education. It was God that said, look, I'm going to do something good for you. And it's me that did it. And what else does he say here? He says, raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob. I knew it was God on my life. It was God that used me. And here's what kind of prompts me. And the sweet psalmist of Israel. The sweet psalmist. That's God speaking. So God is looking down from heaven and he says, oh, David, my servant. He sure is a sweet man. That is said about one man in the whole Bible. Out of every Bible character, God said that about one person. The sweet psalmist of Israel. It's almost a southern term. If you're from the south, and I don't mean Los Angeles. That is not the south. I mean Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, or Texas, you know, something like that. That's the south. Parents would sometimes, when you went out to play, they'd say, be sweet. I don't hear it much here, but they'd say, it's kind of a southern thing, be sweet. And so God looked down and says, David, you're a sweet man. He was 70. You ever notice at the end of people's lives, it's just kind of two roads. As we get older, we become a sweet, kind, nice person. Or we become a cynical, mean, old witch. Not a whole lot in between. We've met people and said, they're a mean old man. Meanie. We had the funeral service yesterday for Brother Dusty Baker. We couldn't find a person that didn't like him. Lived to be 80 years of age, grew up here in Napa. Was a butcher, worked at Napa State Hospital. Married to his wife over 50 years. He drove on the bus route, drove teenagers around to visit the bus route, always had gospel tracts. He was here for every work day. He never missed church in like 30 years. Many of you would say, I don't know who he is. He was just kind of quiet, sat in the back, loved the pastor, loved the Lord, read his Bible. He said greatest day in his life was when he got saved. Second greatest was when he quit smoking. That's what he said. When he met his wife, Barbara, he said, where have you been? They got married 5 months later. We're not going to talk about that. 5 months later. Sorry. But everyone that knew Dusty Baker said, he sure was a sweet old man. Is that what they're going to say about you one day? Well, I don't know. I'm 30 right now. Well, you're now setting the precedence what they're going to say. Cynthia, they picking on you right now, girl. First Sunday back after having a stroke, and look at that, they're picking on her. Well, I'm going to speak on this subject, sweet or sour. Not sweet and sour. Sweet or sour. We're going to look at the secret to David's life. Father, bless this brief time. I've thought about this. It's something I preached out of town recently, and I thought, man, I think our church could benefit by this. So help us, please. We've only got so much time, a lot to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you the background to David's life. And let me say this. David was not problem-free. Some of you think, well, if I had no problems, I could be a sweet person. Has nothing to do with it. Better to run to God with your problems than to run away from God with no problems. He's always the one that David ran to. Here's his background. You ready? His brothers hated him. They said, who's watching the few sheep? You naughty kid. You just came to see the battle. The king became paranoid and maybe even schizophrenic and started chasing David to kill him. His best friend Jonathan died. His pastor Samuel died. He had a young boy, a baby, that passed away. He had a son that was murdered by one of his other sons. He had a daughter that was abused. He was exiled, had to leave his hometown. His wife looked out the window and said, how foolish do you look dancing in front of the Lord, praising God. So he married a woman that was not a mature Christian. He was cursed as he left town. His family did not feel about God like he did. One time, his house was burned to the ground by villains, and they kidnapped his family, his wife and kids. He went through all that. And yet God said, the sweet psalmist of Israel. I don't know if you're like me. I've got something to learn. If David was still sweet after all of that, he's got something to teach me. So you say, what was he? What did he do? What was the secret? What was maybe some of the things that David practiced that would help us be a sweeter person? And I know this might not impress you a whole lot. And some of you young people, it may be, it doesn't pertain, but it does one day. It does. Here it is. Just want to give them to you and we're out of here. Number one, God was his security. God was his security. Psalm 41, Psalm 61, he says, he alone is my rock. David did not get his security from Social Security. He did not get his security from the government. He did not get his personal security from who was living in the White House at the time. He didn't get his security from the mask or the vaccine or money or savings or anything. He got his security from God is my God. By the way, God never changes, so he's the only one that can give you real security. Governments come and go, and fads come and go, and things come and go, but God is always the same. God was his security. Number two, he looked for the good. Psalm 27, he said, I believed. He said, I would have fainted. I would have quit. I would have given up unless I believed the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What did he say? He looked for the good. David looked for the good in people. He looked for the good in circumstances. He looked for the good in trials. He was always looking for the good. Some people always look for the bad. How was church today? I didn't get a good parking spot. Are you kidding? We have a new parking lot. You ought to just lay in your parking spot and enjoy it. Number three, he kept a song in his heart. You know what has attracted some of the parents to our church the last 40 years? As we've sent these church buses out, we'll build them back up. They've been in Fairfield, Sonoma, Vallejo, Rodeo, all over this area here. Sometimes parents will say, my kids are singing these songs all the time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. If you're saved and you know it, say amen, the B-I-B-L-A. We keep hearing these songs. They're singing them around the house. That song in the heart attracts people to Christ. The Bible says, he is my strength and song. Guess where you get strength from? Your music. If you listen to the wrong kind of music, it drains you. Negative music, angry music, violent music, filthy music, pornographic music, cursing music, or music that uplifts Christ and gives you strength. You say, Pastor, I don't like gospel music. How you doing? Sweetie? No, I shouldn't have said, sarcastic. I'm sorry. Let's keep going. He kept a song in his heart. Number next, he fessed up. Let me back up here too. David knew how to play an instrument. If I was raising kids all over, if I had kids like 5 or 6 years of age, I'd give everyone an opportunity to learn a musical instrument. Instead of doing this for 15 hours a day, they'd be doing this for an hour a day, and this for an hour a day, and this for an hour a day. How come? It gives character. It gives good self-esteem. It gives them something to do, and they can use it in church one day. David knew a musical instrument. Not only that, but this too, we're hastening. David fessed up when he messed up. Amen. Say, Pastor, I would never sin. You just did. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Say, God does not expect perfection from any of you, but he does expect honesty. Why would we not confess our sins to the Lord when he's already seen everything? Lord, I hate to shock you, but look, really? He already saw it. Confession is just telling him what he already saw and that we're sorry and we want to try better. So David had an affair with the neighbor and he confessed it. He did some things he shouldn't and he confessed it and God forgave him and he felt good. Now, the scars were there. The memories would always be there. But David got up, brushed himself off and says, I still want to serve you. And God used him again. Amen. How do you know God's done with you, Pastor? When you stop breathing. Amen. What else? Why was he sweet? He was close to the men of God. You'll see in Scripture, Even when David messed up with the neighbor, Nathan, the prophet, came to his house and said, David, you know what you did? Stuck a long bony finger right against his nose. Thou art the man. David got his heart right. Guess what? Later on, named one of his sons Nathan. Later on, he was close to a man of God named Gad. He got advice. Before Samuel died, the great prophet, he spent time with Samuel. He was always around the men of God to learn their ways. Several months ago, I was about to head out. We live a long way from the church, but just to stay in good shape, I walk. I walk to church. I walk home. Just not many pastors can do that. And so we live in the neighborhood here. And so I was about to leave the lobby, and one of our good teenagers was standing in the lobby. And I said, can I help you? He said, no. He said, you need something? No. Can I help you? No. I mean, he's just standing there. I started to walk out the door. He started walking after me. I said, do you need something? No. I said, what's going on? He said, I'm just walking you home. I said, am I like in danger or something? He said, no. He said, I just want to be around the man of God. The next week, him and his brother. I said, y'all okay? Yeah, we're walking you home. A few days later, it's like nine of us. I mean, we were forming a gang. The cross and the switchblade. You know, we were going to... All I'm saying is everyone ought to have someone you look up to, whether it's a godly woman or a godly man somewhere, and say, I just want to get around you and learn something you know that I don't know. And that was David. He was always close to the men of God. Quickly, he was under authority. Under authority. When he was a teenager, his dad says, here's some cheese, here's a lunch, bring it to your brothers that don't like you. Yes, sir. He brought him the lunch. He's working for the king. Time to polish the armor. Yes, sir. Time to play the music. Yes, sir. He was always under authority. Now, folks, believe it or not, you never get to an age where there's not someone gonna tell you what to do. Well, I'm gonna be the general of one of the... Yeah, and then you've got Congress and the president. Well, I'm going to be the parent. Yeah, then you got your grandkids. Can I have cake for breakfast? You sure may. Right this way. Chocolate cake. I'm going to be a husband. I'm going to tell that woman what to do. That's what you think. Because not only you got her, but you got her mother too. Man, it's two against one. Authority. David learned the chain of command. And it made him sweet. He was not a rebel. Amen. Quickly, he did not retaliate. The king goes nuts. I think it was not just physical problem or spiritual problem. I think it was some mental condition. He's playing the harp. David's playing the harp. And the king throws his javelin to kill David. Get this. Twice. If I was in the Bible, it would say once. I'm not going to work again. He finally says, I want all the army. I want 3,000 men. We're killing David. He's sent to David's house. David's in bed asleep. They're going to kill him in bed. David flees, gets his stuff, goes to live in a cave. The king comes chasing after him. Ends up, providence, God works it out. The king gets tired, takes a nap in the cave where David's hiding. David's soldiers say, ain't God good? Look who's asleep and look who's got a spear. Oh, God is so good. And they started singing, ain't God good to give us so many blessings. No, that's not what happened. But they said, take him out, David. It's God. He says, oh, he's the king. Samuel anointed him. Bible says, don't touch God's anointed. He said, I'll let God handle it. Folks, we cannot become vigilantes. Well, so-and-so said this about me. You wait and see what I'm going to say about them. So-and-so cursed me on social media. And I'm going to leave it alone. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And you'll find out God repays a lot harder than you could repay. What would David have done? Killed the king. Later on, the king is now shot in the chest with an arrow. He's bleeding. Then a soldier comes by and sticks him with a sword. He's still not dead. He tries to fall on his own sword to kill himself. It was a brutal, slow death. David says, I'm not having any part of it. Let me encourage you. Don't retaliate at someone that's giving you a hard time. Leave it alone. You'll self-destruct. You'll become mean. You'll become angry. Leave it alone. If you want to be sweet at the end of your life. Not only that, he didn't repeat the bad. So later on in the battle, I'm fast forwarding, I think it's 1 Kings 1. The king does get killed in battle. David's with his soldiers. He's resting or eating. And they bring him news. The king's killed. The king that tried to kill you, he's dead. King Saul's dead. The enemies killed him. Guess what David said? Tell it not in Gath. Gath was where the Philistines' headquarters was. The enemies of Israel. Don't tell it in Gath. Don't let them know they killed our king. We don't want them to rejoice that someone amongst our ranks fell. We don't want them to know. Now, let me just give you a little tip here, folks. Whether it's news on Fox or CNN or whatever it is, you start talking about the news all the time, and you're hearing it. Well, it's true. Well, it was true the king died. David says, tell it not in Gath. Don't let it. Don't be repeating that. Well, now it's the vaccines, and now you got to get 8 boosters, and now you got to get now you have to sit in a booster seat in the restaurant. Everything is booster. Man, you start repeating it, and I saw this, and people send me stuff all the time. I'm not against you sending me stuff. Man, it'll be 2 in the morning, and I'm getting all these. Here's an article, Pat. Here, hey, let me sleep, and you ought to go to bed too. Don't stay up all night long. And the next bad news, and this bad news, and this bad news. And people moving out of California, and all these people moving here, and those people are burning up their state. No place is safe. Stop talking about all the negative. You're not going to have a nice home. You're not going to have peace and sweetness. Come home and talk about Jesus. Come home and talk about the Word of God and people that are saved and what's good going on. It'll help. Amen. I've only got 5 minutes. Let me hasten. He had a godly friend. David had a friend named Jonathan. You'll see, David picked a good friend. David is fleeing. He's staying in a cave. 3,000 enemies are trying to find him, and they can't. Guess who shows up in the cave? Jonathan. I'm here, David. One real friend could find him. He said, why are you here, Jonathan? I'm here to hold up your hands and strengthen you in God. And he says things to him to help him. You're going to be the next king of Israel, and I'm going to be next to you. You're going to get through this, David. God is good. He's anointed you. We're going to make it through this. Hey, what a cheerleader. He had the right friends. Do you? Well, I thought they were a friend, and they offered me drugs. I thought they were a friend, and they stabbed me in my back. I thought they were my friend, and they bashed me on social media. Hey, get some good friends. David had a good friend. He prayed often. Psalms 19, evening and morning and at noon will I pray. David's always praying. The Word of God was a big part of his life. He said, at midnight will I rise to meditate on thy word. What did David do to help him become sweet? He helped those that were worse off than himself. So David's city has just been burned. He's trying to find his kidnapped family, and he sees an Egyptian in the field who's starving to death, who's sick. He stops and helps that guy get well. David had his own problems. He helped those worse off than himself, someone that was dying. Let me give you some something that'll help your mind. Yeah. Okay, Nancy, watch this. Watch this. Okay, go to sleep. Okay. Anyway, so when you help someone worse off than you, you start feeling better. Amen. You got laid off from your job? Go visit the cemetery and hang around some people that are visiting a tombstone, laying flowers there, and ask them about their loved one. You'll start feeling pretty good. Go by the hospital waiting room and hear people as they get bad news. You go home and say, I think I'm doing pretty good. He helped people that were worse off than himself. Folks, sorry to say, but if most of us went and visited a third world country today for a week, we'd come home and never whine again. Quickly, I'm almost done. He learned to encourage himself in the Lord. How did David stay sweet? Imagine for a moment, his city is burned. The Bible says, him and his men wept till they no longer had power to weep. They're smelling the fire, the smoke. Their families are no longer there. They're now kidnapped. Then some of the men picked up stones. Said, David, it's your fault. If we wouldn't have gone into battle, this wouldn't have happened. Now they're the blame game. Let me encourage you. Be careful about playing the blame game when you're not at your best. Amen. If it weren't for, oh, really? Well, you were nothing until David found you, you men. They were in debt, distressed, discouraged. When David found them, made them into something, and now they're going to blame him for one battle. Fair weather friends. So they're going to stone him. Guess what David did? It says he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David looked up while the men were picking up stones, and somehow he thought about God, and he got encouraged. Encouragement is between you and God, not you and somebody else. If you're waiting for your phone to ring, for friends to encourage you as you go through a trial, you're never going to make it. That's what followers do. Leaders have got to be able to motivate themselves and encourage themselves. How do you do it? D.L. Moody said, God never uses a discouraged servant. Got to encourage yourself. How do you do it? Think about the day you got saved. Find some favorite Bible verses and read them again. Find some sermon CD that someone preached one time that encouraged you and plug it back in. Find a holy place where you got saved or where God changed your life or brought you out of, and drive by and stand there and say, thank God, I'm not here anymore. Get around a godly friend that encourages you. There's all sorts of ways to encourage yourself. David did. And he recovered everything. Why was David sweet? He cared about lost souls. He said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. He received godly counsel. And last, David knew that he was saved. He knew it. He knew it didn't matter how anything turned out, it was going to end good. And folks, I don't know how this economy is going to go. I do not know. By the way, I only got 2 votes last election. Seriously, I got 2 votes to be the president of the United States. No, I did. No, I'm serious. Someone just wrote my name in and voted for me. Okay, well, thanks. I don't know how it's all going to turn out. I don't know if Russia is going to nuke the Ukraine. I don't know how many of our soldiers are going to die over there. I don't know what it means when Russia and China is holding hands now and the Koreans are practicing their nukes. And none of them like our country. I don't know how it's going to turn out. But no matter how it turns out, it's going to turn out good for me. Because I know my next step is on the pearly streets of gold. It's going to be a wonderful ending. And David knew that too. If we'd stay focused on that, it would change our lives. Let me ask you a question. From what we've talked about, are you heading toward a sweet life or headed away from a sweet life? People ought to visit our church and say, the sweetest church I've ever been to is that Hopewell Baptist Church. The more sweet people, the sweeter the place. More sweet people in a home, the sweeter the home. Who's that, Jackie Gleason? How sweet it is. Oh, can't believe I said that. If you're here today and you do not know the Lord, that's where it all starts. You've got to know you're forgiven. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to get dunked under the water. You don't have to give money. You don't have to turn over a new leaf. You don't have to quit this, this, or this. All you have to do is realize you cannot save yourself. And what Jesus did on the cross already paid for your sins. And by faith, you must accept him as a gift and invite him into your heart. He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's his offer to you today. Sweet, not sour. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon this time.